Your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25. This weekend we celebrate Memorial Day. This is a day when we take the time to remember the men and women who have given their lives in service to this country. We have Veterans Day to remember those who have served, and some may have served and still be serving, but we take that time to remember those that have served this country. And then we have Armed Forces Day to remember those who are serving currently. And then there's Memorial Day for those that passed away while in service to this great country. Where would we be today if this country's brave men and women were not willing to risk their lives that you and I might have freedom? Where would we be today as a country had it not been for these brave men and women, for the brave men and women who risked their lives and some even paid the ultimate sacrifice of giving their life for us? Many men and women have given their lives to give you and me the freedom we have today. The cost of freedom is high. As we think about that, there was a high cost to grant you and me freedom from our sins. That cost was the death of Jesus on the cross. You and I deserve to die on the cross, but instead we get mercy. As we continue to look at our series, The Way of the Lord, today we will see that the way of the Lord is mercy. Psalm chapter 25. Beginning in verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness. Now that word loving kindness is that Hebrew word chesed that means faithful love, loyal love, covenantal love, mercy. It says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions according to your mercy. Once again, it's that word chesed, loving kindness, loyal love, faithful love. For your goodness sake, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy. It's that word again, chesed. Faithful love, loyal love, third time in 5 verses. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage that you give to us from your servant David on the incredible beauty of your love and mercy that is given to us so freely. Lord, as we look at our lives, we are sinners in need of a Savior, and you, and we are the ones that deserve to die on the cross, but instead we get mercy. Lord, you have given us far above and beyond anything that we deserve or could ask for. And so today we want to take the time to thank you as we celebrate Memorial Day, remembering the lives of the men and women who gave their lives. We want to remember you, Lord Jesus, and the life that you gave on the cross for our sins. I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray that you would encourage us today through the beauty and the power of this word. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we begin, the first thing that we see in our text is remember mercy. Remember, he says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness or your mercy, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Remember your loving kindness is the cry of David. David had a way with words. As you read through the psalm, many of the psalms were written by David, and David had a way with words. As you read and study through the psalmists, as we are on Sunday nights, you will see the incredible trust that David had in God. You will see that David was not afraid to admit when he messed up, that David was not afraid to call out to God for help, that David was not afraid to be raw and real before God. And he writes these beautiful psalms that give us His incredible heart for God. And so in this psalm, in five verses, he talks about God's incredible mercy and love. As we have stated in verse 6, it's translated loving kindness, but it's the same word that's in verse 7 and in verse 10, talking about the incredible, covenantal, unfailing, faithful love and mercy that God has for us. And as we think about that, this word in Hebrew means all those things wrapped up in one. It means God's mercy, His love, His faithful love, His unending love, His covenantal love. It's all those wrapped up into one. And three times in five verses, David uses this word to describe our great, awesome, and incredible God. The psalmist asks God to remember mercy. We see in this passage God's incredible love for us. Where would we be today without the love and mercy of God? Where would you and I be if God was not a God of mercy? If God was not a God of love? David says that this love and mercy is from old. I love this. He says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old." This reminds us that God's mercy has always been with His people and will always be. We see the mercy of God when He provides the ram as a sacrifice in the place of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. We know this story very well, where Abraham takes Isaac to sacrifice him because that's what God told him to do. But God was testing Abraham because God never wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son. But as Abraham is getting ready to do what he feels God has told him to do, God says, "Stop." And Abraham looks up and sees a ram. That is God's mercy. So if you remember on the way when they're going, Isaac says, "Dad, we got the wood and the fire in it. Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "God will provide," and God does provide. We see the mercy of God as He raises up Moses to bring the people out of Egypt when they had been in slavery for a long time. The people had been in slavery in Egypt for a while, and God raises Moses, and Moses comes along, and in the power of God, He brings the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, because of God's mercy. We see the mercy of God as Moses brings the people through the wilderness and into the promised land, even though they were a stiff-necked and disobedient people. How many times during the wilderness wandering did the people of Israel rebel against God? How many times could God have wiped them off the face of the earth? And there were a couple times where He said He was going to, and Moses prayed on behalf of the people and says, "No, no, God." So we see God's mercy as the people wander in the wilderness for 40 years and as they come safely into the promised land. We see the mercy of God in the life of David as he would become a great king and be known as a man after God's own heart, even though he had faults and failures. We see the mercy of God in sending His Son Jesus to take our place on the cross. You see, you and I are the ones that deserve to die. You and I are the ones that should have been nailed to the cross, but instead, Jesus took our place. Jesus gave His life on the cross, shed His precious blood so that you and I can be made right with God. And the only way that you and I can be made right with God is through what Jesus did on the cross. And that is an act of God's mercy. We see the mercy of God in our lives because we're still on this earth. The fact that we are still alive is God's mercy towards us. Because each and every one of us have sinned against holy God, and our sins could have caused God to wipe us from the face of the earth, but He has not. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, your mercy, your faithful love, your covenantal love. David says, "Remember mercy." And then he says, "Don't remember my sin." How many of us would rather God remember mercy than our sin? David says, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. Or according to your loving kindness, remember me. David wants God to remember mercy instead of his sins, instead of his transgressions. And here is the truth, my dear people. Here is something that I want you all to hear crisp and clear and plain this morning. The way of mercy is forgiveness. Our God is a forgiving God. Praise the Lord. The psalmist asked God not to remember the sins of his youth or his transgressions. Instead, he wants mercy or faithful love. When we look at our sins are many. Each and every one of us have sins upon sins upon sins. God could punish us more and more, and he would be right to do so. If God was to wipe you and I off the face of the earth today because of our sins, he would be right to do so because we have offended him. God could have wiped David out due to his sin, and no one would have thought any less of God. However, God had a great plan for David, and no sin of David could stop God's plan. God showed David mercy. David saw that and worked to live a life devoted to God. We have all made mistakes and sinned against God. He forgives us, not because of us, not but because we deserve it, but because of his name. He says, according to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, for your name's sake, O God. And so God's mercy, God's forgiveness is not because we've earned it. It's not because we deserved it. It's not because of anything that we have done. It is simply because God is God. David did not deserve the forgiveness of God after what he did. But God gives it so freely and beautifully and powerfully. There is so much sin and wickedness in this world. We need to be reminded that there is hope. There is hope when we sin that God in his mercy and love can and will forgive us. There is hope that the wicked can come to know Jesus and have their sins forgiven by his love and mercy. It is such a beautiful thing to know that God forgives our sins. Even when we don't deserve it, he is there to show us his great love and mercy to the point that he sent Jesus to take our place on the cross. It is in Christ that forgiveness comes. Apart from Jesus, we cannot find forgiveness for our sins. In him, our sins are removed and replaced with mercy. We have sins in our past that we've committed, and we have sins that we don't even know we've committed. And God forgives us those sins when we cry out to him. The great thing about God is that he is there to forgive us of our sins when we ask. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is mercy. Notice in the text that sin is sandwiched between loving kindness. Again, as we look at this, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. And so sandwiched between mercy, between loving kindness is sin. And this is a reminder to us that God's mercy surrounds us. God's mercy is all around us. Everywhere that you and I look, we can see God's mercy. David is not showing that he has earned this or that it has anything to do with him. He simply knows that God's forgiveness is just a wonderful gift of God's mercy. And I want us to see that this morning as well. God's mercy, God's forgiveness is an incredible gift that God has given to us. You and I don't deserve the forgiveness of God, but oh, the sins that he has forgiven us of because of his mercy. Think for a moment the number of sins that God in his mercy has forgiven you of today. Think of the many sins that he has erased. that he has taken away because of his incredible mercy. Because of that, we are to learn his ways. In the next couple of verses, we see the need to learn his ways. In verse 8, it says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." As David seeks God's mercy, he shows the great qualities of God. He says, God is good and God is right. He is good. We do not have to look hard to see that God is good. Every one of us should be able right now to stand up and say something good that God has done in their lives. You know, it breaks my heart when I say, hey, tell me something good God's done, and we're sitting here. And it takes us a few minutes. We have breath. You know, I love what the psalmist says. I believe it's in Psalm 3 where he says, I lie down and sleep. I wake up because the Lord sustains me. The reason that you and I woke up this morning is because of God's mercy. Every single one of us have something good that God has done. And we don't have to look hard to see the goodness of God. All that we have in life is because of the goodness of God. Our friends, our family, our cars, our houses, this incredible building. Everything that we have is because of God's goodness. I am sure that we have heard the saying, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And you know what? That's true. God is always good. Sometimes we don't see the goodness of God because we're not looking. Sometimes we don't see the goodness of God because, like we talked about in Sunday school today, it's because we have a critical spirit. We're too busy criticizing other people when we don't get our way to realize the goodness of God all around us. We don't have to look hard. The rain the last couple days, that's the incredible goodness of God. The beautiful sunshine that we see is the goodness of God. Everything that we have, the fact that we're able to come into this building today and worship to God and hear a message and listen and hear what God has to say is because of the goodness of God. Everything that you and I have is because God is good. Amen. The reason we have so many freedoms in this country is because God is good. And raised up men and women who are willing to risk their lives. God is good. And we also see that he is right. Now, what's interesting is that the word that's translated here, upright or right, it means to be straight or level. So when you think about it, when you hang a shelf, you want to make sure that that shelf is level. Because what happens when you put your wife's favorite knickknack on an unlevel shelf? No, I've not done that. Usually I have somebody else hang the shelves. But what happens if you put something on a shelf that's not level? It falls off. You know, God is level. God is right. When we stand on him, we ain't gonna fall off. When we take our stand on God and who he is and what he has done, we are not going to fall off. God is on the level. He is always right. We can take our stand on him and know that we will not be shaken. When we stand on the goodness of God, when we stand on the fact that God is God, we cannot be shaken. We can stand tall and stand firm no matter how hard the kids are running through the house shaking everything. That is the goodness of God. That is the rightness of God. And he teaches all his ways. I love this. Because God is good, because God is right, because God is merciful, we should want to live according to his ways. You and I should want to follow the Bible. I shouldn't have to get up here Sunday after Sunday and say, as Christians, you need to read your Bible. I should never have to tell a Christian they need to read their Bible. They should want to. I should never have to tell Christians you should be in church. We should want to. We should have that desire. We should have that passion. Because of all the mercy of God, we should want to come together, to fellowship, to grow together, to be the men and women that God has called us to be. And David says, God teaches sinners his way. I love this. David says, God, you teach sinners your way. This is good news for all of us. Because there was a time in my life when I did not know the Lord. There was a time in my life when I was lost. There was a time in my life that I was on my way to hell. And by the mercy of God, I was taught His ways as a sinner. And I surrendered my heart and my life and I cried out, Lord, save me. I was a sinner and God taught me His ways. You know what? I'm still a sinner. I still make mistakes. I still mess up. I still sin against holy God. But guess what? He's still teaching me His ways. God is still teaching me His ways. And as I learn more about the ways of God, I do my best to impart those ways on you as pastor and teacher so that we can grow together and become the men and women that God has called us to be. That is the beauty of our goodness and right God. He teaches us His ways even though we sin against Him so that we may grow. David also says that God teaches the humble because here's the thing. To hear and heed the ways of God, we must be humble. A prideful person will not hear and heed the ways of God. A lot of the problems that we face in churches come down to pride. I didn't get my way. God, they didn't do it the way I think they should have. And a lot of the problems that we face is because of that word I. And that gets us into a lot of trouble as a church. And so as we think about that, pride causes problems in the church. Because it comes about me and not about God. And in order to hear and heed the ways of God, we must be humble. When we do not follow His ways, when we do not follow the ways of the Word, when we do not follow the Bible, it's because of our pride. It's because we allow our pride to get the best of us. And sometimes we just need to humble ourselves, seek God, seek forgiveness, and sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. Been there many times. Sometimes we need to swallow our pride, humble ourselves before God, and hear what He has to say to us. When we decide that we will do our things instead of God's way, that is pride. When we come to God, we are to come with humble, teachable hearts, ready to hear what He has to say and walk in the ways of mercy. We are to be teachable. And that's where a lot of us get into trouble because we're not teachable. We are stubborn. We are stiff-necked. We are stuck in our ways. I have a word for that. Israelite. In the Old Testament. We're very much like the Israelites. Which again gives us hope. Because God still loves and cares for and gives mercy to the Israelites. Just like He loves, cares, and gives mercy to us. In spite of us. All people. Sinners. And humble. Need the teachings of the Lord. His instructions show us the path we are to walk, and we can know that His path is filled with mercy. And that brings us to our final point this morning. His ways are mercy. Verse 10, all the paths, that word path can be translated as way. It's the same word. So it could say, all the ways of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. All of God's ways are mercy and truth. The paths or ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. The Lord has paved the way for us with mercy and truth. Mercy or loving kindness or faithful love. Again, we see it all around us. How much has God given to us and done for us that we do not deserve? The definition of mercy is not getting what we deserve. How much has God given us? What should God have done to us that He did not? What could God have done to us that He didn't because of His mercy? The word truth means faithfulness or steadfastness or firmness. We can know that the ways of God are firm, true, and steadfast. All the ways of God are faithful. The ways of God do not change. God expected the people of Israel to follow him in obedience, and when they didn't, there was consequences. Today, God expects you and I to follow him in obedience, and when we don't, there are consequences. God is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. God is firm. He is faithful. He is steadfast. He does not change. And what we see in the Bible is what he expects of us today. God expected his people to follow him then. He expects his people to follow him today. God gives us direction as to path, to the path or the way that we are to go. He gives us directions on how we are to live, how we are to walk the path of God. And you know what? Here's where it gets awesome. He gives us the way and he gives us mercy. Because no matter how hard we try, we can't stay on the path. Because we are sinners in need of a Savior. So in his incredible love for us, he gives us mercy. We need to know that God is full of mercy. And because of his tremendous mercy, we should want to walk in his ways and follow his words. Again, because of God's mercy, we should want to live the lives that God has called us to do. And that's why the psalmist says what he says. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. Because of God's mercy, because of God's faithful love, because of God's covenantal love, because of God's unfailing love, because God is good, because God is right, you and I should live our lives according to his covenant and his testimonies. As we walk in his ways, we are to keep his covenant and his testimonies. We are to be transformed by the mercy of God to walk in his ways. We are to keep his covenant and his testimony. His covenant is seen throughout the Old Testament. God made a covenant with the people, and when they did not obey, there were consequences. When you look through the Old Testament, you will see multiple covenants. There's the Abrahamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant. There are multiple covenants that we see throughout the Old Testament, and all of them follow the same pattern. God issues a covenant with the people. There is a condition of that covenant. The people break that covenant condition. Recompense is brought upon the people because they broke that covenant. There is banishment, there is sin, there is punishment, but then there is restoration when they cry out for forgiveness. And you will see that through all those covenants. God makes a covenant with man. Man, there's a condition, don't do this. The people do what God says don't do, which leads to sin and punishment, which leads to punishment. But then they cry out to God and God restores them because of his mercy. Throughout the entire Old Testament, as we study and look at the covenants between God and man, there is always mercy. He made a covenant and he would restore the people. We know that the promises of God is still on track because God made a covenant with Abraham that all the world would be blessed through his descendant. And guess who his descendant is? Jesus Christ. And the entire world is blessed through Jesus because in Jesus we have forgiveness of sin. God made a covenant with David that he would never lack an heir to sit on his throne. And we know that one day Jesus Christ is the heir of David that will sit on the throne. God keeps his covenants. And we are to do our part to keep the covenant. And we are to keep his testimonies. Testimonies are his laws or his commands. God asks us to live by what is written in the word. Huh. Imagine that. God gives his life on the cross for us. He creates us and he asks us to obey him. And he is in his right to do so because he is God. Living by his word should be something that you and I want to do because of all the mercy and the love that God has given us through his son. I want to obey God. I want to follow his word. I want to do what is right. I don't always, unfortunately. I'm still a sinner in need of a savior. Praise be to God, we get mercy. Praise be to God that when we sin against God, he gives us mercy when we ask for forgiveness. One commentary says, to keep God's covenant is to remain in a relationship with him as opposed to rejecting the covenant and forsaking God. To keep God's testimonies is to meditate on the scriptures that contain the true witness of what God has said for himself and what others have said about him. God has given us so much mercy and love. We are to honor him by keeping his covenant and his testimonies. We are to live out our lives in the mercy that God has given us. Today, as we honor the men and women who have given their lives for the freedom of this country, we want to take time to praise God who gave his life for our freedom. God has forgiven our sins and given us mercy. Time and time again, you and I have experienced the incredible mercy of God. The way of the Lord is mercy. And for that, you and I can be eternally grateful. What is God saying to us today? Do we need to remember mercy? Maybe we're here and we need to confess our sin and ask God to forgive us and experience that incredible mercy. Do we need to learn his ways? Maybe we're here today and we need to take the time to learn his ways instead of ours. Or do we need to seek, or do we need to see that his way is mercy? Do we need to take the time this morning and step back and see the incredible mercy that God has given us, more than we could ever deserve or ask for? Whatever God is saying to you today, allow his Holy Spirit to speak to you, to be transformed and to be changed by mercy. Maybe, I don't know why God, this just hit me, so I'm going to say it. Maybe you need to give somebody mercy today. Maybe you're here today and you're holding a grudge against somebody for some reason or the other. Maybe you're here today and you need to be like God and show mercy. And again, I've had people say, well, preacher, you just don't understand what they've done to me or how bad they've hurt me. Doesn't matter. Because I promise you this, no matter what they've done to you, it's not worse than what you did to Christ. And he has chosen to forgive you. So maybe there's someone here today that needs to take this passage in Psalm. And maybe they need to say, you know what? I need to forgive. I need to show mercy. I need to show faithful love and loving kindness. Because God asks us to act as he does. So whatever God is saying to us today, may the Spirit of God speak. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful passage. And I pray, Lord, I pray that today it would encourage the hearts of your people. I pray that you would remind each and every one of us of your incredible mercy. And I'm so grateful today because of your mercy. I'm able to stand up here today and preach the beauty of your word because of your mercy. I'm able to be a part of this incredible church because of your mercy. And I pray that you would help us to grow in your mercy, to grow in your faithfulness, to grow in your loving kindness. And I pray that we would be a church that seeks to keep your covenant and your testimonies in all that we are and do. And I pray that we would be a church that shows and displays mercy and forgiveness to one another. Lord, we thank you for this day. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.